Well, continuing with the theme of lasers, Hannah Critchlow's probing the scientific basis of films in Question of the Week.
The Naked Scientist's Question of the Week, brought to you in association with the How to Wissman Foundation, supporting science and education from Alpha to Omega.
This week, we wonder if we could use lasers for world domination.
Hi there, my name is Julius Burke, I'm from London, and what I'd like to know is, of all the lasers employed by all of the supervillains portrayed over the years to variously destroy the world and other planets, or indeed our struggling heroes, super or otherwise, which is the most realistic, both in terms of the science behind them and the world-dominating application for which they have been chosen?
With the answer, here's John Tisch, Professor of Laser Physics at Imperial College London.
One of my favourite laser scenes in films is in Goldfinger, where James Bond is strapped to a gold table and a laser beam is seen to cut between his legs, inching closer to his nether regions, while Goldfinger says, "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die." Well, actually, high-powered lasers are used quite extensively in industry for cutting materials, for example, the metal panels of cars. So that rather eye-watering moment is actually quite plausible. In reality, the lasers are actually focused with a lens that's quite close to the surface of the material to be cut, so as to concentrate the energy into a small region. So the beam that we see sort of slanting in on the table is not particularly realistic, but still pretty fun.
Thanks, John. And Dr. Martin Ostwick, Research Fellow at the National Medical Laser Centre, University College London, agrees, adding...
So you have to have a laser at a wavelength where tissue absorbs that particular wavelength, that particular colour. So if you have a red laser, the main absorber in tissue around that frequency is hemoglobin. And hemoglobin is red. In other words, it transmits in the red. It doesn't absorb in the red. So using a red laser to cut someone in two is dreadfully inefficient.
So, Goldfinger, top marks for your realistic use of lasers, but if you'd like to frazzle Bond's bits more effectively, we suggest that you decrease your beam length and change your laser colour. Going back to John with his second favourite laser film of all time, and there appears to be a theme here, it's Austin Powers' Goldmember, where Dr. Evil straps lasers to the heads of sharks, or even sea bass. John explains...
There's absolutely no reason why you couldn't make a laser waterproof, and indeed, underwater lasers are used for imaging and communications. I think the real credibility issue there is the power of the lasers shown in that film. The beams that come off them are seen to demolish parts of Dr. Evil's lair. There's currently no way that you could make a high-powered laser small enough so it would fit even on a very large shark's head. The most powerful lasers in the world today, the NIF laser in the US and the Vulcan laser in the UK, are building size. And we're talking big buildings here with lots of space taken up by the power supplies and the technology for energizing the lasers. But I guess there's no fundamental scientific reason why they couldn't be miniaturized in the future, perhaps based on new technologies. I mean, just look what's happened to computers, which also used to be building sized. By the way, I thought it might be interesting to note that Dr. Evil's use of the word laser with those exaggerated air quotes is frequently used in laser labs around the world. So it's finally cool to be a laser scientist.
With that resolved by hip laser jocks, we hop along to our next question.
Dinit from Rochdale, Greater Manchester. As the joke goes, if you cross a kangaroo with a sheep, you get a woolly jumper. Is it now possible with modern techniques to cross different animals to make one completely new species?
So how much is possible with genetic engineering? Send your thoughts on this quandary to Chris at thenakedscientist.com, tweet at nakedscientists, write on our Facebook page or join in the debate on our forum, which is at nakedscientist.com/forum.
Hannah Critchlow.
And that is it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Next time it's a Q&A show, so it's your chance to have any question you've been pondering answered by our team. You can email your questions to chris@thenakedscientist.com. You can tweet them to @nakedscientist or post them on our Facebook page. Thank you to Harry Coles, Philip Hands, Nick Lawrence and David Brayman for joining us in the studio this week, and our production team, Ben Valsler, Mira Senthilingam, Hamid Critchlow and James Abbott. Have a great week, and we will see you at the same time next week. Goodbye.
The Naked Scientists podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the STFC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more cutting-edge science, join us online at nakedscientists.com.